There is something to it. When you're really...
Now we know everything. Are we ready? Oh, okay. I'll call the meeting to order. It is 10:37 or 8, and here we go. First item on the agenda is approval of many sets of draft minutes.
Do we have
what?
Yeah, we would. We'll have Steve introduce.
Oh, okay.
Our new assistant.
Oh, hallelujah! I was wondering. Yes, good.
Yes, so this is Eric Carpenter. He's our new assistant finance director.
And Eric started what day?
July 21st.
Okay.
Somewhere in there.
Good.
Good.
What is your last name, Eric?
Carpenter.
Carpenter, okay.
What a good name.
No, I can tell you that Steve and the city are very happy to have Eric here. It was a very, very long year with...
Yes,
Steve trying to do more than he could possibly do, so.
Okay, now then, approval of minutes. Are we ready? Is somebody going to move to approve them all at once, please?
I would make a motion to approve all of the minutes. Do I need to list them specifically?
Oh, he's not on.
I'm not on.
Okay, I would move to adopt all of the minutes in the agenda. That's what I'm moving, and I'm sticking to it.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
So that brings us to the real reason we're here, the update on the audit. Jessica, would you like to proceed?
Absolutely. So I am Jessica Luther Haynes. I am a senior manager at Aldridge CPAs and Advisors, and I am in charge of your audit this year. So we started the audit process in July when we came out for interim audit procedures. At that time, our primary focus was on the processes and procedures of the city. That included looking into your internal controls and determining whether there were any deficiencies there that we need to alert you of. And at that time, we also kind of identified what our risks for the audit were. So during that time, we kind of scoped out what our procedures would be when we came back for year-end field work, which is what we're doing now. So field work began on Monday. We have a team of four people that are out here completing those procedures. The staff was very ready this year. Steve was able to provide me everything 2 weeks in advance, with the exception of a couple of items that didn't need until we really got out here.
Good.
And then we kind of pulled all of our samples and everything before we came out, provided them to the city, and we were really able to start it first thing Monday morning with our procedures. So during the course of this, we will perform four audits and issue four different audit reports. There's going to be the audit of the financial statements, so that's in accordance with generally accepted auditing standards. The next audit will be the gas audit. That is in accordance with government auditing standards. Then there is the uniform guidance audit, which is the single audit portion. This year, we are auditing the ARPA funds. That was 90% of what the city spent in federal awards this year, so going through and testing compliance, and then testing internal controls as a part of that audit as well. And then the final audit report that we will issue is in accordance with Oregon state regulations. So that's minimum standards, making sure that when you adopted the budget, you went through all the proper protocol and testing things like ORS 279. Did you obtain bids and quotes when you made large purchases? Things like that. So at this time, we are, you know, 3 and a little bit of days into our audit fieldwork, so haven't completed all of the procedures, but at this time, I haven't identified any significant adjustments to the trial balance numbers that were provided by the city, which is excellent. I know given the staff turnover that the city experienced and the vacancies, it was a struggle, I'm sure, on Steve's part to get everything ready, and he did a wonderful job. We do have one internal control finding, which I talked about at interim to you all, and that relates to really the vacancy in the assistant finance director position during the year.
Lack of segregation of duties?
Yep, exactly.
Isn't that, with Steve actually preparing a lot of work during the year without a review?
So it's specific to journal entries.
Okay.
The finding that I have. I know that with like the bank rec and cash, Spencer was kind of roped into that process to provide a little bit of oversight.
Okay.
And other processes and procedures, the city staff were able to kind of
prepare. Are you giving us a material weakness? I would think it should be.
I'm leaning towards a significant deficiency. I haven't determined yet where I'm going to end up, and I'll end up talking to the partner about it before we issue findings, but my preliminary thought is that,
that
it will be
all,
a significant...
Were you doing all journal entries during the year? Was Linda doing... Somebody else doing anything that you were approving?
Yeah, she was doing some, so it seemed to be a mixed bag as to what was being prepared by others and what Steve was doing 100%.
Did Linda approve anything Steve did? Oh.
That
I was reaching.
That was the part where it kind of fell apart a little bit in the internal control side. So there will be a finding related to that, which I don't think is a huge surprise to anybody given the vacancies. And then as it relates to the ARPA program and our single audit, we do have a preliminary finding. I know the city is still working to see if they can locate the documentation to support that this was done, but... Before awarding a contract to a contractor or vendor under federal laws, you have to check the suspended and debarred list to make sure that that contractor is allowed to actually perform procedures for the city under that federal award. And for Public Works, specifically with all the turnover that they had, I'm told that it was done. But there is no documentation at this time to support that it was done. So that will be a compliance finding for single audit specifically.
Okay.
Unless the city can locate those files, but it's, yeah.
It's being all contracts in?
No. So this was specific just to ARPA, the coronavirus state and local fiscal recovery funds. And it was just a sample of those that we selected. So we looked at 5 different contracts, and 3 of them, they were unable to locate the documentation for.
So what does that mean?
So it means that there will be a single audit finding that we issue as a part of the report. Yeah.
I don't know that we know what any consequences of that would be.
Yes, I can't tell you what any consequences would be. I think it's a fairly minor finding for there to be, but I think that there is an opportunity for the city to put better processes and procedures in place, knowing that there are those vacancies that are coming up in the various departments to ensure that documentation is maintained.
You don't think it's a big enough deal that the feds might want money back or come and look themselves or anything?
I have never had that happen, and I've given this finding quite a few times for other programs. So I don't anticipate anything like that, but the federal government can opt to do what they want.
What typically happens is the feds will send us a letter probably a year or two from now and just ask how this has been addressed.
Yes.
You know, and that's usually, I think, what the response has been to any of the findings in the single audit. And again, the single audit is dealing with the expenditure of federal funding. And so I think that's basically the response that we've had with other findings in the past. So,
Yeah, typically they'll ask for just a copy of what we present to council on recommendations on how
which will have your addressing the problem too. So,
Yeah, they only seem
that
to really
take care of everything.
An issue with it if it's a repeat finding year after year after year. At that point, they might, you know.
Would that put us in a bad light with the feds and future funding?
Probably not. No. I can't imagine it would.
Yeah, I think findings aren't unusual.
I think you might be a little immaterial to the feds.
Yeah.
And one of the problems is we can't get
that the SAM was checked because the employees are no longer with the city at this time.
Yeah. These are contracts that were let over 2 or 3 years ago. So we've gone through 3 engineers during that time, and I think that's probably part of the issue.
The wastewater.
Okay.
And no longer.
David Powell's.
So we can blame it on a past engineer, is that what you're saying?
What's that?
We can blame it on a past engineer, is that what you're saying?
Well,
we got rid of the bad actors.
I'm blaming it on kind of lack of procedures when we have a frequent turnover in bodies.
Yeah.
And that's something that, you know, we've been talking about organizationally is really getting those procedures nailed down so that, that you know, with federal funding in particular, that we don't have repeat situations going forward. And as we get a new engineer that may not be as familiar with the process, there's, you know, there's an actual checklist and a location for it. They may exist. We just haven't found them. And that's kind of where we're at with those projects. So.
Okay.
And so the city is also going to implement 3 new GASB standards, so financial reporting standards this year. I sort of touched on those at interim, but they've done the calculations needed, and so we have all the information needed to actually incorporate those into the financial statements. I know last year with the implementation of the lease standard, we were a little delayed in issuing our financial statements, your financial statements, because the city was delayed in starting that process. But this year, everything has gone smoothly. The process has been completed, and we have all of those numbers necessary. So at this time, I don't foresee any significant roadblocks to wrapping up the audit and issuing by December 31st, which is the due date.
Wow. First time in years.
I know. So we're aiming for that.
The auditors don't quit.
Yes, aiming for that this year.
Yeah. No pandemic, no auditors quitting.
Yes. So.
Oh, good.
Hopefully we can follow through on that and nothing comes up in the next month or so. But
you're not quitting anytime soon, right?
No, I'm not going anywhere. So that is the status of the audit process. You guys have any questions for me?
I don't. My big question was about segregation of duties, and I think we've addressed that closely enough, so. Anybody else? Questions?
I just want to really thank Steve for doing almost an impossible job over past, through a good chunk of this
been a couple
fiscal
of years
year.
Of,
yeah.
Yeah.
Actually through the entire fiscal year, because Eric started at the beginning of the current fiscal year. And so, you know, between the GASB standards, which are new
standards
that we had to implement in the process, between doing double duty for budget, for audit, for all our day-to-day operations. I'm truly amazed that he, and I was concerned we were going to lose him for a while there, but, and then, of course, the final issue is, you know, his truck got totaled in the parking lot by an errant RV and he parks in a very safe spot. He parks where you think a finance director would park, you know, right in the middle of the lot, you know, well protected with curving, and his truck got totaled by an RV in the middle of this Angle Street parking lot. So,
my gosh.
So anyway, he's had an interesting year.
RV but took you out. Is that right?
I hope he was.
You're gonna have to do an ordinance banning RVs.
Well, now you got to pick up with a Corvette engine, right?
But yeah, he is parking his brand new truck in that same location, and he's pretty convinced that lightning will not strike twice. So anyway, but
yes,
then the other
thank
staff.
Thank you, Steve. Yes.
Yeah, the other staff at finance has certainly had their challenges through the course of the year too,
and Linda too.
You know, it's been a real struggling sort of year. Hopefully, we're getting to the point where we can smooth some things out and have an even better scenario for you guys when you're coming in next year. But the fact that he got everything done when it had to be done, doing double duty is a pretty remarkable task.
You never leave the building, do you?
No, I'm here pretty much 24/7.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh!
I come in Saturday mornings and. Well, I felt bad because Steve was asking, I've got some stuff I got to do around the house. Do I have to come in Saturday morning? I said, no, you don't have to come in Saturday morning. But normally Steve is in here every Saturday for a good chunk of hours just playing this catch-up work. But we're very happy to have Eric here, and Eric's had good experience that has been helpful to get him up to speed in this mix as well. And we'll work through a number of issues here to get things on a smoother basis going forward.
Good, good. This all sounds great. Thank you, Jessica, and thank you, Steve. So, I guess we're on to our committee goals.
Okay, yes. I'm going to leave you then.
Thanks very much.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming over. Yeah.
So we have a draft here of our committee goals.
Those are last year's.
Oh, 22-23, yes, I'm like. So we're working on 23-24.
Actually,
does anybody have any suggestions of changes, or just are we just changing the fiscal year at the top and leaving these the same?
Have we completed any of these?
Some of them are ongoing.
That's what I kind of thought. Internal control documentation is not probably totally done, is it? Mm-hmm. Is everything done?
No, that one could be worked on.
I kind of figured that. That's true. The CAFR.
Yeah, that one's
that's
ongoing.
That's kind of ongoing now, yeah. We're not supposed to call it that, are we?
Yeah, ACFR.
Yeah.
Listen, I go way back, and it's a CAFR to me.
I don't go that far back on finance, but CAFR is still what I call it. So.
Yeah. Jeez. I've been out of public accounting for 20 years, and yeah, it's going to be a CAFR forever. is this business with, what are we doing with the room tax?
Well, one of the things that we've had a challenge is moving forward with anything during the gap that we had
that's true.
Far as any new initiatives. But, you know, that's something I think we'll be bringing back to the council for review, because the state will do collections for a contracted price. I've had some mixed reviews from cities that have gone to the state on this, kind of waiting to see, let the dust settle on how that's working. I think it still is something that makes sense, because we cannot, I think as good of a job with the staffing we have unless we beef up our staffing in this area, because this is a significant issue. And basically, the room tax is not something we have a process to audit, and that's been an issue.
Don't you still have, is there still that problem with Airbnb that they won't give you any detail of individuals?
Yeah, Airbnb is still reporting composite information, which has been a big issue between state and local governments and Airbnb forever. So, and
they don't seem to be coming around to any.
No. Yeah. And so.
So they're unauditable, really, because they don't give you any detail.
Yeah, in reality, the Airbnb receipts are very tough to track down. The only thing, there are some companies that do take a look at the amount of advertising, and they make an assumption of what kind of revenue should be coming in, and they compare it with the revenue coming in, So that's something that we don't do currently, but that's something that we could do if we continue collecting that. But I think as we're getting things settled down in finance, we're going through a number of things. At the work session, last council work session, we're looking at addressing some of the discrepancies in our water billing system. That's kind of what our priority is now, but I think we'll be jumping into this one fairly shortly after we kind of work our way through that issue. And so these things that we've been wanting to do have just been stalled until we have the resources and the time to kind of move them forward. So,
say jumping in. What do you mean jumping in? Are you talking about going to the legislature to change the percentages or what?
No. Just as far as jumping into determining whether we want the state to take over the collection,
yeah, have them
rather than us do the collection of our local room tax.
I still have an interest in changing the formula.
Right, and that's a totally different discussion, not directly related to finance. That's something that we've been working on. So, and discuss that at the league meeting in Eugene, this past week. So that's still an priority of the league and other cities. The mayor's conference had coastal mayors met on that issue.
That just had its second meeting. I was
there on the formula.
Well, to look at how to approach it, because one is we're trying to get some unanimity among just the coastal mayors and who have the same, and that's there's not a unanimous position at this point, so there's some work to be done. But we're looking to be setting up some meetings with Orla and begin to have some dialogue there, because if we're just diametrically opposed, they seem to win.
Because different cities have different formulas, right?
Yes.
Yeah, the issue is whether...
Are your mics on?
I'm sorry. Yeah, I think the issue is there's really two ways to go at this. One would be to change the formula, and the other would be creating a more local control of the definition in terms of what gets paid for the formula. I think that's the simplest way, is that right now we, compared to what our priorities are, we're spending an inordinate amount on advertising to bring in more people when we already have too many. And we don't have the funds to build the infrastructure that would actually support a tourist industry. So
yeah, like streets is a good example. Our roads get heavily used by both our local residents and by the visitors coming into the community. And one of the arguments that we've been trying to make is to be able to use a tourism portion of the room tax for roads as in addition to other things that we can use it for. Yeah. And so that's really the other approach. You can change the percentages, which I think would be a major, I don't think that's gonna happen. I think
there's too much opposition to it.
But the tourists use the complete infrastructure. I mean, they use everything.
Right.
Water, sewer, storm sewer.
Yeah, and water and sewer, they actually participate in by, if they're going to a restaurant, that restaurant is generating water, they're paying a bill. So that will influence, indirectly, we get that revenue from tourists. Roads, other than our local gas tax, we don't... We don't get anything from the tourists.
Yeah, but the last time I was at the, I'll be careful now, the Discover Newport Committee, not Destination Newport Committee. They were looking for ways to spend that money we give them. They were looking for projects.
Right.
And it seems like because of the formulas, we have to give that money into that category. And we're spending money that we could spend on roads or some other.
Right.
When we're making projects to spend that money.
But the other question you asked, that anything that was, I can't remember what year it was, but let's say it was 1997. Anything before that was all locally determined as far as a percentage that could be used for tourism versus general government. And that's one thing that when I initiated letters out to all the major tourism communities, a lot of them were very concerned about getting involved with this discussion, because they, like Depot Bay, is 100% general government.
Yeah, 100%.
And so they can use all their room tax for running government. In fact, they don't have a local property tax. You got so many variations. It's certainly not a one size fits all when you're looking at this question.
Yeah, the tourists pretty much fund that community, yeah.
What's that?
Tourists pretty much fund that community.
Right, correct.
I'd definitely like to see that stay on the, one of our goals is to resolve.
Yeah, I think we need to come to a conclusion on it, so.
Yeah.
Do we know of the vacation rentals in town, the percentage that are Airbnb and those that are not?
Well, and some can be both. I mean, some can have multiple platforms.
Well, so, oh, yeah. Right.
So that's a real challenge in sorting that out. So,
yeah.
So any direct revenue that they collect, you know, obviously they report and they can, you know, they have to collect the room tax and convey that to the city. But otherwise, it's the third party, you know, the platforms that are out there that are submitting these funds.
Hmm. Is that the same case for third-party registrations for hotels and stuff? Or they make reports too?
Yeah, I think on the hotels, I think that's some a portion of that would if it didn't go through their own books, then it would be submitted by another one of those platforms.
Is that similar to an Airbnb report? I mean, or are they reporting that income or that? They collect the tax revenue on that.
Each hotel does make their own report, don't they?
Each hotel files a monthly tax return that they send to the city.
Yeah, but they.
The problem with Airbnb is they just plop a big chunk of money in and refuse to tell us who gave it to them.
Yeah, but on some of the things, you can go online and reserve a room and put your card in. And
like Expedia or you know, those sorts of things. But I don't know. Do you know how that?
I believe the hotel actually reports
that
to
revenue,
us.
Right? Yeah, I believe they do too.
Does the hotel report that?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, they report a monthly report to us and actually tell us what their sales was and everything. So
third party reservations too.
I believe they include it all in their report. So the hotels typically isn't the problem.
It's the individual people renting their house out.
Mom and pop.
Could we just a question, but as part of their license, there is, you know, could we require that the individuals report? We're going to license you to be an STR.
And I can't remember. We do require them to report the number of days rented because we have the minimum rental days there. And but. You know, I'm not sure they even know. You know, when it's like a Airbnb that's renting the vacation rental, I'm not even sure the actual property owner knows how much they actually charge the. They know what they're getting from Airbnb, but I don't think they know what the charge was to Airbnb that the customer paid. They're getting a portion of that.
Yeah,
you know, but back from Airbnb. So, and I can't remember because we had discussions about that, and I can't remember if we could require them to report that or not. And that's something I'll have to follow up because I just don't remember. Do you know, Steve?
I think a good portion volunteer that information because Kay's pretty good about tracking them down, and they'll still a lot of them will still send us a monthly report on there. And then they'll put that at. Paid through Airbnb or something to that effect. So,
VRBO is owned by Airbnb. That's all one company. Are there other companies out there?
I think there's two or three others out there that
do they amount to much? I wouldn't think. Seems like those two are the only ones that people use.
I think those are the two major ones, there are others out there too. So,
oh, okay.
Booking.com and I think TripAdvisor might even.
So I think we still leave number three alone because it seems like without contracting with the state, I don't even want to think about going there because that is going to take a whole bunch of people, I think, to try to handle it.
So. Yeah, the only other option in my mind is going to one of the third-party companies that will do these audits just coming back from the league, there's a company called Avenue that will do that type of work for cities and looking at transient room tax revenues and reviewing that. I don't know how far that goes from a total audit, but there are companies out there that would be an alternative.
In contract with to do
right.
it.
Right, versus the
and
state.
Do we know that there are other cities that use them? And have you talked to people?
Yeah, we haven't gotten that far with figuring that out yet.
So maybe it ought to
number three should actually be
broadened it a bit.
Broadened to maybe include contract
third-party contractors
as well as the state.
I'd be interested to know how much the state's going to take.
Well,
and
yeah.
And whether the loss we have now is equivalent to what the state's going to take, or
if they can do a better job collecting.
Yeah.
The only advantage of the state, well, there's a couple of advantages of the state doing it, but one advantage to the hotel folks is they could do it with one report instead of, they right now have to report to the state for the state room tax, and then they have to do a separate report to us for the city tax.
They could do
so
it
there,
all with
there
one
would be some streamlining for the folks that do have to report that because they could do it, you know, with one form.
Yeah, well, and they could do it electronically too. So, because right now, city's still on the paper-based reporting. So.
So maybe rather than the word recommend on that item is to investigate and report back to the committee.
Yes, recommend that the city investigate a contract with the state or other entities.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Linda, are you making notes?
Yes.
Okay. Well, do we need to approve these goals?
Yep. Should be a motion to approve them, so if you're ready to do that.
Yes, can I have a motion to approve the committee goals as...
Go ahead there, Paul.
As
I make a motion to approve the committee goals.
As number three was amended, kind of.
As number three was amended.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Then I believe we are at public comment. We don't have any public to comment.
A lot of public out there. Yeah.
Committee comments? Then I say we're adjourned.
I would say that Steve owes us a ride in his new pickup.
I will, as an afterthought, say that this might be my last meeting. I'm not going to go into the new year. And I have a 101-year-old mother. And my husband has a mother who's going to be 102 next month. And she's in North Carolina. Mine's at Ocean View. But they are both causing us... little travel time.
Means you're going to be around a long time.
Apparently, we're both going to be around a long time.
Shouldn't be any problem.
Yeah.
So will you be back?
From where? From North Carolina?
Do you know, does your term end this year then?
I think so. It does, doesn't it? Yeah, I think it does. So I'm still coming around, Stephen, getting copies of the financials. Hard copies. I love paper.
So we need another committee member?
Yeah, and see, Linda can go, she has to find another retired CPA.
I don't know if I can find one here that has, like, national firm audit experience, which is kind of what is helpful
Dave
for this.
Dave did a great job as chairing the committee for a long time, you know?
Mm-hmm, that's true. That's true.
You don't have to be a CPA to chair.
Well, it would help because it's financial.
No.
It's not legal, it's financial.
There are smart people at the CPAs.
But you need to know what the auditors are doing and what they should be doing.
Yeah.
I am so thrilled to have Jessica back, and that it's like.
Our previous auditor.
We should never have left the firm. We're not recording anymore, are we, since we're done?
Committee member need to replace them.
Pardon?
Committee member, when they leave.
Oh, no. No. No, I don't think so. It's been very fun, though. I mean, it's been a really fun experience.
As the opening?
Yeah, we do with all the openings that come up.
They'll be advertised.
So we'll be soliciting folks that are leaving.
It really is kind of helpful dealing with auditors and to know what the audit committee is supposed to be doing. The audit committee is not a finance committee, so keep that in mind. We're here to deal with the auditors and the audit process. We are not a finance committee. You don't have a finance committee, and you probably need one.
Who's the CPA that used to do our audits here in town?
Oh, don't even go there. I can't even imagine you would use a... CPAs in this town are tax people. I don't even think there probably are audit people.